On today's episode of Back of the Bird, we sit down with recently retired NLL legend Sean Evans. We chat about mental cups, man cups, NLL cups, and some hilarious stories of fighting both the other team and oftentimes his own team as well. Let's get into it. This is episode 102 of Back of the Bird.
Take your first ride and run, baby, run. If you want a sign, this is it. You're mad, your magic, you're as hot as a gun. You wanna play with fire, consider this. You'll chase the thrill if it's worth the hit, 'cause you never ever wanna work for it. Take your first ride and run, baby, run. You got a spine of steel and a roar of thunder.
All right, we're back. Paulie's on the phone. It's episode 102. There's no one that wore that number. So number two, Paul Dawson. Welcome back. Back of the Bird, brought to you by Cottage Springs. Go get your springs for the holiday season. Drink them up, the punched up version preferably, or anything else. I saw that there's some places that have like little mini kegs back too. So go get those, bring them out to your family events. Shout out to Cottage Springs for supporting us, as well as Bar Down. Go get your merch. Not too late to get it for Christmas. No guarantees you'll get it in the next, I just mean for next Christmas. But let's just jump into it. Paulie, what's going on, brother?
Nothing, man. Just first weekend under the belt, man. And now it sucks, we got a weekend off, but heading to Denver for some practices. But yeah, man, just just get in the swing of things, I guess. I don't know.
All right. You're living. Donnie, what's going on with you?
Nothing. I'm good. Pretty tough one for us on the weekend. Obviously, I think, you know, people.
Great game for fans, though. Great game for fans.
Yep. So, like Paulie, we also have a bye weekend this weekend. And it sucks having buys early in the year. It seems like everyone does. Like, looking around the league, there's not that many games every weekend. But everyone, I think, is trying to find a flow. And if you're winning, you want to keep playing. And if you're losing, you definitely want to get back and play again. So it is what it is. Taking a weekend off. I'm in Ontario this week and seeing some family and hanging out. So, yeah, it's all good.
Love it. But all's good on our end. Another weekend and wonderful Saskatoon. Where else would you rather be?
How about that turf?
Fucking, I mean, not only is the color insane, the turf is razor blades. Like, razor blades. It was legit, like, it's like the old school UMass AstroTurf that will slice you in half if you fall on it. Like, the amount of turf burn in the blood that was running around that room after was fucking insane. So
I kind of liked the turf, not gonna lie. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, and you know what, I think it looks worse on TV than it does in person, like in terms of like actually being able to see and stuff. Like, I think you can get used to it, but the bigger concern I think was just like how sharp it all was. Like, it was crazy. But yeah, Cactus Club remains intact. What a spot. I love it there. It's just, yeah, it's
What's the go-to order there?
Oh, come on. You sit down. Obviously, we're doing lunch. We're being responsible. We're getting waters. I start with the Szechuan chicken wrap, lettuce wraps. Those are just all time unbelievable. One funny little story about those. I went to a work lunch once. Ordered it as an appetizer with a guy that had never been to Cactus Club. He liked them so much, he actually then ordered it as his main. So he doubled down on the Szechuan lettuce wraps. But then I go with the Rain Coast salad, and instead of the regular chicken, you go with the Cajun chicken breast. So very nice meal. definitely needed a nap after it, but it was good. I went to Cactus Club three times in 24 hours. That was great.
Bahama breeze, baby. Bahama breeze just for lunch, dinner, and breakfast.
I I honestly can't even believe I almost just completely forgot. I got on the 9:30 flight out. 9:30 p.m. that is on Friday. Got in 11:40 p.m. local time, Saskatchewan. Waiting around, chatting up with the boys, talking about our week, getting a few jokes going, get the boys loosened up. No gear. So didn't have gear. Now, typically what I would do is take my heads off my lacrosse shafts. I had a bit of an incident the week before and not going to get into full details. Couldn't pull the head off my shafts. Put my sticks in my bag. Bag doesn't show up. Now, they tell us at the thing, we walk over. So obviously, like, for people that haven't lost their bags before, I'm sure everyone has. Walk over to the little station. We walk up there. We hand her the tag. We say, okay, there's five of us. Five guys don't have gear. And we're like, hey, like, this is the deal, whatever. And she goes, okay, can you give me all the tags? We'll put under one claim. So there's two of us in line. Then there's like three other people. And then the other three guys on the team behind them. One of the guys on our team walks up with his tag. The lady goes, no, 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 honey, you're waiting. Starts screaming that he's walking ahead. And we're like, hey, like, it's the same claim. Like, what's going on here? So we have to deal with that. And I said to the lady, I said, okay, listen, like, we've got a game. When's this stuff going to get here? She's like, well, the next flight, it lands at noon Saturday. So right away, no gear for shoot around. But then I said, okay, can you guarantee it's going to get on that flight? She said, no, I can't. I said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, well, it's 12:30 there. No one's working right now. So when I file this, like, they can't answer it right away and they can't put it in priority. I said, okay, well, when's the next flight after that? She goes, okay, well, the next flight after that gets in at 11:30 p.m. So right away, I'm like, okay, well, that's not going to work. So and she goes, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And I honestly, now that, like, you're removed from the scenario, I love the idea of someone sitting there and just being like, yeah, I got nothing for you. Like, I can't help you. So anyways, we got through that, went to shoot around full. Mark Matthews sent me a nice little DM full. I went full Craig McTavish style, no bucket. I'm wearing our operation guy, Craig Grzymski. I'm wearing his Nike free trainers that he's been walking around in all day. So I almost lost my ankle 15 times. So no gloves, nothing. It's kind of bad, but they start calling it the Make-A-Wish that they got me out there playing, because it was like they just kind of put me in there. We had some good fun, kept it light. Your brother told me this my first year. It's the National Adversity League. You're going to face it. So you got to find a way to kind of get through it. Ended up getting our gear back and getting a nice win and being able to have a couple drinks with the guys. And then a 3:15 a.m. shuttle to the airport. For a 5:30 flight. So that was a blast, but then a nice little nice Sunday of full football. So it's no complaints here. Work days have been long. We're still at the office here, but we're getting through it, man. Things are looking up. You guys got anything for me? No?
Yeah, I got it. Okay, I can jump in here. A couple notes. Just getting back in the swing of things here at first game week that we've been doing the podcast. So scores from the weekend, Toronto 11, Philly 7. I think Matthews had three or four in his debut there. Albany 17, Buffalo 13, Georgia 16, Colorado 10, Rochester 16, Sask 14, San Diego 12-9 over Calgary. And then Sunday, Vegas 11-10 over us in OT. So, you know, there you go. That's the scores from week one. Ryan Lansbury traded last week. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. Traded for a 2024 first, conditional 25 or 24
I think it's,
first.
I think it's not conditional. I think it's compensatory.
It definitely said conditional in the stuff that I read, but
really?
Maybe that's a mistake.
I thought it was compensatory, meaning that if we lose a free agent, if we lose somebody who's a UFA and we get a pick for it, then they would get it. I could just be making stuff up. Pauly,
yeah,
I think you're muted.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you could be right for sure. But I did see the first word Donnie said. I can't remember.
Conditional.
That other C word. What's that other C word? Conditional. Yeah, yeah. That's what I saw too. But who knows? You're the guy in Rochester. So maybe you know. Maybe you're the one who was pulling the strings behind the scenes, eh? Maybe you're the one making the deal.
Oh, and boys, we're all right. A conditional first round compensatory pick.
Hey.
So
you win, you win.
Yeah, everybody wins there. But yeah, no, it's fun to I'm glad we got Lanch. He's a really good dude.
And did you guys see that clip of the hockey announcer? Oh, look at this, look at that.
Yeah, that's so good. But yeah, and it's good to have him and Smitty back together too. It's funny. So we gotta it's a funny little group. But I gotta now I got a road dog with me because I've been traveling these Brampton practices and down to Roch alone. Cause we don't have any really, any city guys. But Lanch lives about 40 meters from my place. Me and Donnie have put in some hard, we put in a hard shift at Lanch's one night, but, so it's good to have him.
A couple other notes, Emerson Clark signed in Buffalo, Blaze Reardon is on the injured reserve. And I believe I didn't see Holden on the injured reserve, but I saw an article that he was hurt, so I think Blaze and Cantoni both injured. And on the opposite note, Callum Jones and Zach Deacon were both activated this week by New York.
Wow. So,
you know, hopefully for those guys getting in their first action after both were on the injured reserve. So, yeah.
And I can only imagine our buddy Callum Jones is just raring to go play some lacrosse. That guy's all full of energy. So,
So yeah, it'll be interesting. A little bit of a humble brag here. I hit a milestone this week. 100 points. But more importantly, I passed NLL legend Paul Dawson on the all-time scoring list.
I mean, we came into
Sunday tied with 94 points. I was lucky to eclipse it. So
you're gonna fucking pass me next game.
So it's dream come true.
I love it. I think you're saying but bringing up a good memory of I remember Teeter. I'm honestly fairly sure Teeter and I got our 100th point on the same play, and it was his rookie year, and it was my like sixth year in the league. So. Yeah, it's, some good things take time. But congrats, Donnie. That is awesome and pretty funny.
I got a take, actually, a hot take that I've been waiting to unleash on the podcast. Ooh, so
let's go.
It is we just finished conference championship season in football. And before I say this, I've had teammates who have done this, so I don't want to seem like a hypocrite. But it's the season of guys staying out when the other team is celebrating just to get their photo of like, oh, I wanted to make it sink in. Go into the locker room with your teammates and take the loss together. Like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. It pisses me off. It's stupid. After the game, if you lose a big game, you shake their hands, you do it the right way as competitors, and then you go to the locker room and there's important conversations that happen in the locker room. It's so performative, and I hate it.
I couldn't agree more how much the media amplifies it as a good thing, but I think it's the opposite.
I totally agree. Totally.
Yeah.
It's a look at me moment. Like you say, like you can sit there like by yourself and watch until like either they get the trophy or you shake their hands. Like whatever is like that kind of like, this is the end moment where your team's like kind of supposed to be out there, but you can like go off on your own if you want, like separate from your team and sit there and be like, okay, like this sucks. But other than that, yeah, like being the solo guy on the field, like when everyone's just popping bottles and stuff, like is just the biggest donkey move in sports in general.
Yeah. I just think of like, oh, their coach is giving some heartfelt speech about how, you know, you left it all out there in the locker room and you're just sitting on the field, you know, and there always seems to be. And I think I made my point, but I just saw it and I was like, you know what? I got a podcast. I can unleash these things on the podcast.
Another thing that I was thinking about this on the, in an NLL comparative. I think an NLL comparative would be fucking hilarious if somebody did this, but the whole Shohei Ohtani blow up about like signing with the Jays and everything apparently was something constructed by his own team. His own agent spread this news so that the Dodgers would offer him more money to not do it because he hadn't made his decision. I think that is such a hilarious move, and I think that we should start seeing that in the UFA market in the NLL. Burn the shit out of your bridges and get some extra cash. Maybe somebody will sprinkle an offer back at you for a little more. But I mean, it's such an all-time move if that's actually true.
Did you guys see, by the way, I don't understand how this is legal, but he's deferring almost all the money so that he actually gets paid like nothing right now. But then so he essentially just has like the most unbelievable pension plan of all time. Yeah. Like, it's totally
but you don't need it. Like, yeah, I haven't read like too much into it, but like it makes the other thing too is like it's non-interest free payment. So like, you know, the whole Bobby Bonilla thing, he signed like the same contract, but he gets like interest on those payments, like still getting, but like, why not just take, I guess like you're giving the Dodgers a bit of a break, but it's like, you signed $700 million, but they only get paid two of it a year. Like, I don't know.
It's such an absurd breakdown. Like even like $2 million is obviously an obscene amount of money. But if you're in that tax bracket, I would imagine you'd want more than $2 million a year. Like,
you know, the guy
lives in a fucking $20 million house. But like, you think you'd take a little bit more than two?
So I think part of the logic that comes into it is his endorsements, and his endorsements are $50 million a year off field. And I think part of his thinking is maybe those 50 million, like that will maintain for the next 10 years. But once I stop playing in 10 years, then my $68 million kicks in every year. So I just guaranteed myself at least 50 million for 20 years.
Yeah. But like, and, I mean, you're getting $700 million. Take it now, take it later. Like, man, that's not gonna make a difference, dude.
No,
like, that's
not my idea. I agree.
It sounds smart, but it's like you're making $700 million in 10 years. Why not just take it now? You have a good investor, and you have $14 billion by the time you're
50 years old.
I
think my favorite part of that entire contract is something I read today. There's a clause in the contract that says,
yeah, can't fire his buddy.
So everybody thought this was over his translator. There's a clause in there that says, it says any change of staff with the Dodgers at the end of that season, he has the right to opt out of his contract. Everyone was saying that was his translator. The GM put that in. So the GM basically just secured his own job for the next 10 years, which I think is, I mean, like, if you're going to put in that much effort to like grinding through this, such a sick lookout for me move.
Throw a little biscuit for you in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? So, but yeah, I don't know where I saw it, but there was a clip. It was like voiceover, but the Wolf of Wall Street clip, like explaining it all of like what he did. I don't know. Maybe it's ridiculous to try to clip that in, and I'll send it to Donnie, but it's a pretty funny thing. But outside of that, I mean, sports wise, we're in the dog days here of the hockey season. NHL is obviously just kicking off. Football wise, yeah, I made the fantasy playoffs again, so what? So we've been on a heater. So hopefully that goes well. But and we're entering into holiday season here, which is I mean, man, it's like before, I guess, as you get older and before you have kids, it just like feels less and less like Christmas. It's kind of wild.
Before we kick to Sean Evans, for those of you watching on YouTube or on Spotify, and if you're not watching, you should be watching. There are some weird thumbs up and thumbs down that come over Sean in this interview. I don't know why those go on, so I apologize. He chirps me for it. I deserve it because I don't know what the problem is, but that's not on purpose.
So funny. Well, I think we should kick it to him. So we've got Shawnee Evans here. This is the third time we've interviewed him. It's the first time you're going to hear it. It was during a transition phase. I think the first time I just lost the audio. The second time I recorded on my work computer and then quit my job. And so my old job has that laptop with the audio. So hopefully they burn that. This is Shawnee Evans. And as always, it's brought to you by Lucky Penny Media. At Lucky Penny Media, we're a full-service marketing company. without hefty agency pricing. We understand your brand is everything to you, and when working together, it means everything to us. You're more than just a client. You're a partner and a team. And a teammate. Our philosophy is simple. You grow, I grow, we grow. So here he is, Shawnee Evans.
All righty. We are pleased to announce for the third time's a charm. We've had two crazy interviews with him, but this time it's for real. But he was drafted second overall in the 2005 to the old Rochester Nighthawks. He's amassed over 1,100 regular season points, good for 11th all time, 123 in 26 playoff games, good for 5th all time, two-time NLL MVP, 4 straight All-Pro teams, won an NLL championship. He holds pretty much every record in Senior A. He's the all-time Man Cup leader. He just retired. He's a Hall of Famer in the NLL. Please welcome again for the third time, Shawnee Evans. What's up, buddy?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I like that intro better than the first one. So,
We just had to, get it right. You know, we had to get it right. It was just the first two didn't get it right, so we had to make sure we had to get it right, buddy.
I feel like even since we've had you on the first couple times, I think you've moved up a couple places in those totals there. So those might be out of date, but still.
I feel like a lot's happened since last time. That's why we waited. Wait till everything got out, and then now we can talk about it all.
That's exactly, you know what, we're actually thinking ahead by losing the audio twice. That's what we did. Great. But what's going on, man? How is life right now?
Life's right now is good. It's a little more relaxing, which I like it. It was hard at the beginning there when I kind of announced retirement, you know, especially playing after, you know, so many years, right? It just came second nature to you to travel, go to your team, play, you know, but first couple of days were hard, but it's been nice. I've been you know, a lot of family time, getting my son's hockey games and my daughter's dance. So it's been nice and relaxing. The body has been hurting, so we'll take it. I don't know about you guys, but I guess probably a little banged up.
Bodies are sore, buddy. Bodies are sore. Hey, weren't you just down in Bahamas playing some poker, throwing some cards around?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a good opportunity opening weekend to go down and play in the World Series of Poker just to get my mind off things. And you know what? Maybe hit the jackpot, right? So
how'd you do? Great.
I thought I did well. I finished 163rd in my out of 513 people in my flight. So I played for 9 hours. It was a grind, though. Like, it's a different intensity. Like, as soon as I raise somewhere, you got somebody like just waiting 5 minutes and just staring you down and just giving you that look and just like, what's this guy have? What's he doing? It's just like, and then he calls. I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, but no, it was good. The wife got to enjoy some beach time, and I got to play some cards and enjoy some pool and some relaxing. What retirement should be.
That's amazing, buddy.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've heard the story a couple times, but you know, for the listeners out there, why don't we just kind of start back at the beginning? Walk us through how does Shawnee Evans pick up a lacrosse stick and get into the game?
Yeah, I know. I think I come from 4 siblings. I got 2 older brothers that played lacrosse. My sister that played well. She played every sport, I think, too. It was just a grind. I was the youngest of 4, and I kind of was just born into it. My dad played hockey, played lacrosse as well, and he taught us on kind of growing up and, you know, watching my brothers play and being one of those rink rats you know, around the rink every day and just roaming around. And, you know, back in those days, I don't think your parents cared where you were, you just, as long as you came back. So just kind of did that and stuck with it. And then, you know, played all my lacrosse through the Peterborough minor system and then up to Junior A, won a Minto Cup here in Peterborough with my friends here. And then, you know, got traded to Six Nations, won a Minto Cup there. So, and then after that, it was just kind of things took off.
You won, so you got, I forgot about this. So you won back-to-back Mintos, won it in Peterborough, in the Nash, right? And then you got traded to the Nash?
Yeah. Yeah. I won in Peterborough and then basically got traded the following year and then won again in New West. So it was good. Good back-to-back year. Congrats to Burlington this year. Good Peterborough goalie in net, which is always good.
I had a front row seat to the first one because I was my brother had gotten traded to Six Nations that year. So I was eating all the ice cream all the ice cream and chicken wraps that were in that arena and watching. And that was during a very, very interesting time on the reservation there with kind of all the, you know, the protests and things going on over the development buildings and things like that. So, I mean, maybe walk us through what we can kind of, we'll get to, you know, a little bit of school stuff after this, but I mean, walk us through, cause I know obviously you guys in the Ontario finals, Six Nations had won that. What's the thought process for in the room and around Peterborough as you're moving into the Minto Cup after losing the Ontario final?
Well, I think it was one of those new setup that they had. They made it a four team Minto there. So we knew two teams from the East were going to make it on. So I think we played the first game against Six Nations and we won. And then they sat us out, most of us out the rest of the series, just so we didn't goon it up. And, you know, basically my dad told me he didn't let me go on the bus trip because he goes, "You're still going to start something in the stands." And knowing him and knowing myself, I probably would have done something. So it was kind of a smart idea and smart move by him, but holding me back.
Was he coaching? Was he the head coach, or who was the head coach at that point?
Yeah, my dad came back coaching in junior A. Yeah, and okay, then we ended up winning that year too. So it was crazy. Like even if you want to talk about the Minto, like I think Burnaby was up by in the semifinals. They were up by 7 goals going into the third period, and we came back and you know it was like one of the guy checks who was defending me got kicked out of the game for 5 penalties. And then we went bang, 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 scored 6 goals. And then Corey Vitarelli with a huge, I think we're on the power play at the end of the game or 6-on-5, and he hit the crossbar. And it was when the old rules, if it hit the roof, it'd be the other team's ball. But it just missed and stayed in. And we got it, went right back down, scored with like 8 seconds left to tie it up. And then Brock Sorensen with a 60-foot shot from outside scores in overtime. So it was just, it's kind of one of those things that was meant to be. And, you know, guys you grew up with, and especially a great goaltender like Aaron Bold, in those days, he was a solid goalie.
Who else was on those teams, in Peterborough, and did they all grow up, in Peterborough? Like how many of those guys did you play with, basically all the way through?
Yeah. You know, like my good buddy, Kyle Sorensen, you know, Brock Sorensen, his brother, Corey Vitarelli, Justin Kula, Chad Evans, Matt Evans, my cousins, Matt Curry, our captain, Claire Donnelly, Kyle DuPont, all guys from Peterborough. I think we had three or four out of town guys. You know, and one of the biggest ones was Boldy. So it was pretty, pretty unique, pretty cool situation.
When did you guys, one last question, when did you guys trade for Boldy? How long was he in Peterborough for, the whole season? Or did you guys get him halfway through?
No, you know what? Boldy actually, he lived with me that whole summer.
Did he?
Yeah, he came in, him and his buddy there, McNeil, came in. And honestly, I love Boldy, but he never wrestled with the guy. Like the guy's got every UFC move down pat. And every time we came back at night, it'd be like, "Let's wrestle." And he'd get caught down the basement with him, and next thing you know, he's got in a chokehold, and it's like, stop. But yeah, the guy never stops. He's fit. He's built like it. So never wrestle him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. What years were those have been? The both.
Those six. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, because didn't you go on a run where you won every single championship in a year?
Yeah, so that was that year. 2006, I won the Minto, and then that year I got drafted that year to Rochester, and then we end up winning in 2007, my second year, and then the Man Cup as well. So yeah, pretty much 4 of them in a row. So like it was one of those times where it's like you're flying high, you couldn't be stopped. You're like you're winning year after year, and it was like, you know what? You're feeling good. You're on top of the world. And, you know, that kind of helped kind of push me through kind of how it made me today.
So I'm reading this now, and I mean, I love that we can find this stuff. But 2006 Minto Cup, the final was 9-5 Peterborough. You had 3-1 And I mean, your guys' team. I mean, you mentioned Nick Bock Sorensen, Kyle Sorensen, Corey Vitarelli. You got yourself, Boldy, Clancy, and then you look at this other team. I mean, the other team that you guys take down. Yeah, the other team you take down: Jerome Thompson, Jeremy Thompson, Craig Point. I'd be remiss if I didn't say Dave Lomas. He's going to ask for that shout out. Sid Smith, Evan Bucktooth, Torrey Gardner, Huey Johnson, all time buzz around guy, and Cody Jacobs and Cody Jameson. I mean, that's no joke of a team to take down in a final.
No, they were good. Yeah, you know, they had a good team, and you know, I had the opportunity the year afterwards to join them and kind of you know, learn the culture a little bit, and you know, they took me in with open arms, and you know, like me and Cody Jameson are friends to this day. Craig Point, Sid Smith, you know, Ben Avery, like guys like that, I got to know on the reserve, and it's a different world. But you understand it a little more when you got to actually, you know, play there and learn a little bit about it. So I was kind of, I'm fortunate that I was able to do that.
And I mean, it's like you guys got rid of the dead weight in Lomas Senior there, and then finally we're able to. They swapped out number 15s and were able to pull it off just after that.
I just think they ran into a hot Peterborough team at the right time.
Yeah, I love it. Go into that a little further. As a guy kind of growing up in Peterborough, what was it like to go play in Six Nations and like just kind of the atmosphere that was around it and how the whole year went?
Yeah, the year went great. It was a great great opportunity for me. You know, winning in Peterborough the year before and coming to Six Nations. Got the, you know, like I said, become friends with a lot of those players. It was a unique situation, but I definitely was still hated though. You know what, playing against them that year before and then going to them, there was definitely a lot of hatred, but you know, I thought I did a great job coming in and trying to earn my respect. And I believe our fourth game in, we had a line brawl against Brampton or something. The goalies went at it and everything, so I think that kind of started things off. I think I started it off by hitting the goalie. Hey, Paulie, you know those days.
Was I the goalie though?
I don't know. No, it wasn't.
I know you would have aged out.
No, I was my age out. That was your last year. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I aged out.
Yeah.
It would have been. Tyler Carlson though.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. But yeah, so we started like a little miniature brawl, and I think that kind of just brought us together a little bit closer, and the kind of year just took off from there.
Hey, there's two things that bring teams close together. It's a huge piss up or just an absolute line brawl. It's the two things that bring people close together on a team.
You know what? I think we did both too. So I think we double hammered it.
That's why no team stood a chance. You did everything you could to bring the boys together.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, little details in a season that can change it, right?
That there's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, let's touch on a little bit of Bellarmine. So you did the 1 year banger at Bellarmine and put up, I mean, from what I'm seeing here, a quick freshman year, 53 goals, 21 assists for 74 points. Walk us through your time there.
You know what? I had a great time there. There was a couple schools that I was going to go to. I think I got an offer from Mars Hill Division II school, Drexel University. I was going to head there, but you know what? This new program came in, and Bellarmine University, new D1 school, very first year. So I knew I was going to play. I knew I was going to jump in, and you know, I got to go there with my buddy Kyle Sorensen from Peterborough as well. Rick Passfield was the goalie there. You know, unfortunately he passed away as soon as I left. So, you know, that made it a little bit tough. But yeah, coming in, playing right away as a freshman, you know, that was what I was looking for. I wanted to make a point. I wanted to make a spark. And I think I did that. I think I played well there, but unfortunately I only lasted a year there, but, and then opted into the NL, kind of quite 1 year after that.
Hey, just had two big dreams. NLL was calling, just, hey, couldn't turn down the money. Had to go to the NLL road school. See you later. Smell you later, Bellarmine.
I think times were different at that time. You kind of had your eyes on playing, making money, seeing these guys having fun. And it's like, you know what? I can go to school. Yeah, basically. I go to school or make some money. So I was, you know, I was an athlete. I was a competitor. I kind of went that route.
Well, probably like, and same thing, you got your brothers playing in the league too. So like when you decide to not play, like when you decide to go to an NHL draft, obviously Brody declares, or he aged out of school, but he's going in. Like, take us through kind of that draft process. Like, obviously you go second overall, highly touted, like, you know, again, back-to-back Minto Cup winners. Are you talking to a bunch of teams? Like, Roch is like, hey, we're taking here. Kind of just take us through that draft. Where was it to? Take us through that whole thing.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. You know, I was still young. I was going through that process of being university. You know, I got to play a little bit in the OHL with the Petes, then going to university, and then have an opportunity to go pro. So there was a lot of things happening at that time that I was doing. And, you know, I knew this was the change that, you know, was going to be made. And when I opted out of school and went into to the draft, I was talking to Edmonton. I thought for sure I was going to Edmonton, a second pick. I was talking to Paul Day. No, actually, forget who was there. Paul Day was one of them, had the – that kind of changed things around. But Rochester ended up trading the pick off to Edmonton and getting the second round pick. And, you know, I was there for the first 6 years. So it's kind of how it happened. I was excited. I was just, you know, basic kid that wanted to play lacrosse, wanted to compete, and, you know, obviously wanted to play with my brother as well, right? He played in Rochester and, you know, couldn't have asked for anything, you know, as an 18-year-old kid coming in. John Grant Jr., Sean Williams, Pat O'Toole, Steve Toll. Like, these are the guys that I was playing with, you know, when I Reggie Thorpe, Marshall Abrams, like just a ton of talent and just great guys all around. And to be 18 and learn from all those guys was, can you even imagine the good and the bad.
I'm looking at this now. I had no idea that that you're a hockey guy as well. Like, you played on the piece with Jamie Tardiff, Dan Ryder. Like, what was it like getting your nose wet in that room for a little bit?
Well, it's kind of actually a good story. Like, I played hockey lacrosse growing up. You know, obviously, I was always a lot better at lacrosse. But, you know, I this 1 year playing junior B, I was scrapping a lot of that time. I think I got in, like, honestly, I think I had 500-something penalty minutes in junior B. And I got asked to come to the Petes for the tryouts. I fought like four guys in tryouts and did well for myself. And tell you the truth, I earned my spot in the team. Dick Todd was the coach, and my line mate was Jordan Stahl. So I had to pick up Jordan Stahl every morning. He was living at Dr. Burnett's house, and I'd pick him up and take him to the rink every morning. So it was pretty cool. I got to play a little bit of hockey, you know, and see those guys take off and flourish, which is great. And I kind of went the lacrosse route. So I wasn't big enough to stick the hockey route out, though, being 5'7", 5'8".
Hey, Lomi, so we played Shawnee in the OP. He was playing for, what were they called, the Peterborough Bees, the Tier 2 team?
Peterborough Bees, yeah.
Yeah, so like the farm team for the Petes. Anyways, so every like once a year you do like this crossover game, right? Like,
and I remember you telling me this story too.
Oh yeah. So one of my like good childhood buddies was playing for the Blades, and we kind of like brought him on. He was kind of tough anyways. So we're playing in this college showcase game, and my buddy's not going to college, but obviously Shawnee's being Shawnee, run around, just, you know, mixing things up. So my coach has had enough. He's like, hey, go take care of that guy, right? And I grab my buddy. I'm like, hey, just to let you know, like, because Shawnee, like, he's 5'7 at this point. Like, again, not the biggest guy. I'm like, hey, just so you know, this guy's tough, man. Like, don't underestimate guy. But he's like, yeah, whatever, dude. I'm going to pump this guy. Shawnee just beat the wheels off my buddy. Just put him in the spin cycle. And I just, like, to this day, I laugh. Like, my buddy has had two hands on Shawnee's shoulder, and Shawnee would just beating the wheels off him, up and overs, up and over. My buddy was just hanging on for the ride, just eating punches left, right, and center. It was amazing. He gets back to the bench. He's like, conkied. I'm like, bud, I told you. He's like, I know, I should listen, man. My bad.
That's what it is with the big guys, though. They see the little guy and they're like, I'm gonna beat this guy up. And then, you know, you just duck the first couple, come back with a few, and it's you know, different story after that. So
I'm dying here. 0304, 36 games played, 204 penalty minutes. That's amazing. 03 with the Bs.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think I played junior C and then junior B and then up to the, so anything's possible. Kids at home.
I mean, you know, dude, that's possible. Yeah. Take this as motivation. If you just start beating the piss at everybody, they'll notice.
That's right. They got to take notice. No, it was a good time. I got to play a little bit of everything and, you know, compete at everything I did. So they're very fortunate. And you know, to be able to do both.
So, I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit with talking about and going to Roch and playing with a bunch of legends. And I think one thing we definitely want to get into is kind of the, you know, growing up, the relationship with your brother. What was it like, you guys just kind of growing up as competitors and then eventually playing together?
Yeah, you know, there's too many stories that, you know, you probably heard tons of them too, and they go around, but yeah, you can't even make the stories up. That's, you know, there's a lot of fighting, a lot of competitiveness in my family. If it was doing the dishes, we'd have to play a game of cards, decide who would do the dishes, laundry. Anything was, you know, and Scott would never like to lose, and nobody would like to lose, and it always ended up in a fight. So we're definitely competitive. Everything we did to mini sticks and, just cleaning the house. It's we kind of battled everything we did, and I think that's kind of made me the competitor who I am today. So it was, you know, definitely those drives to Rochester with my brother Scott. We had some crazy times. That's all I can say. I don't know. There's times I didn't make it to practice, and the times that we
that is definitely one of the stories that we want you to get into, because there is one in particular, and I've played with I've been lucky enough to play in Roch twice and have my fair share of Peterborough guys I've played with that we've never crossed paths on the same team, but this story of the air conditioner versus the heat and pulling over to the side of the road and you guys can't decide on it. I need to hear your version of this this story on the way to practice.
No, that's the crazy stuff that happened. That's the competitors we are. I wanted hot, he wanted cold, and you know what? I don't know if we had a bad day or we just, next, you know what? We pulled over the side of the road, squared off. I said a few words to him and took off, and I'm like, I ain't going to practice. He's like, good, I ain't fucking driving yet. And then, you know what? We square off again, get in the car. It's just the whole, yeah, just little things like that, that we just, you know, we battle over, and, you know, no one wants to give in. That's just who we were, and that's how we got brought up. So, but them being 4 or 5 years older than me, it was always a challenge for me. So
I can't imagine. Go ahead, Paul.
No, go for it. Go.
I was just saying, I can't imagine being a guy that's, you know, whatever. If you guys have gotten down the road a little bit, you're kind of in Peterborough. Somebody's driving by to, you know, maybe they're going to hit their local grocery store. And there it is. Shawnee and Scotty Evans just squaring off over the heat on the side of the road. And one leaves the other and just goes to practice. I mean, I can't. That's in itself, that's a Hall of Fame story.
That's what we call the glory days. Those days are all past us now. That stuff doesn't happen in this day and age.
It can happen nowadays because you can control your own side now. You can have whatever temperature, climate control, you'll be fine.
That's right. Yeah, the old button stick here going back and forth here. Yeah, I hear you. If it wasn't for us, we wouldn't fix those problems in life, right?
Hey, yep. You guys are the reason Elon Musk made the Tesla. I think it's exactly what it is. He was Canadian. He probably drove down the road. He's like, man, I got to fix this problem. Right. Can't have two running off on the QEW.
Just throw a little half a billion over here.
Yeah. He just wants a little,
just a little, not much.
Wanted to ask about the 07 Nighthawks team. I'm actually working on another project, so stay tuned, Back of the Bird fans. But maybe the best NLL team ever. You guys start 2-2 and then win 12 in a row, three more in the playoffs. At least four Hall of Famers already, more like yourself on the way. What was your memory of that team? And then that 12 game, which became in the playoffs 15 game heater, like, what do you remember from that run of just, you know, you get, no one touched you guys for a couple of months.
Yeah, you kind of give me the goosebumps right now, just kind of rethinking that. But it was awesome. Those, if you can ask anybody on those on that team, we had fun. We enjoyed each other's company. You know, we traveled together. It was awesome. You know, I named those guys off, like John Grant, Sean Williams, Patty O'Toole, and Nett. We just went on a run, and we were enjoying it. We had a great game. We'd go out and have a good time with each other afterwards. It was kind of one of those things that we did throughout the year, and it just carried on the floor. And then we made it to the semifinals against Buffalo, I believe. It was tie game. I remember tie game. I think it was like 6 seconds left, and Junior had the ball going down the far end and kind of just did a little twister shot right at Thompson's feet, and it went in. And that was kind of like that moment that we were you know, we broke that little bit of ice because we could never get over that semifinal game, and we kind of broke that ice. And, you know, the whole Rochester Arena was going nuts. I remember jumping in the corner and jumping up, and Junior jumping in my arms after that ball went in. And it was just unsurreal. So it was awesome. But the moment going through that and feeling that and seeing it actually take place and happen, and being a young kid, I think it was 18, 19, my second year. Just experiencing that and enjoying that that moment was awesome. Funny thing is, we win that game. Everyone's feeling great. All the fans are happy, and then there's a circus that comes to town. So the very next week, we can't host the championship game. Yeah, so we had to go play Arizona in Arizona, which, you know, wasn't a bad trade-off. Rochester in the winter, or head to Arizona. So I think the boys were pretty happy that we did that.
Were you guys? I actually went to that game, Shawnee. I went to go watch my brother was playing, obviously, in Arizona at the time. So I came down to watch it. But like you say, were you guys kind of like, did the mood change, or like, did you guys use it as like a rallying point? Because like you say, like, you go from winning this huge game, fans are going crazy. Okay, yeah, we're gonna host the championship game, to like, fuck no, now we got to go to Arizona. Like, what was kind of the feeling in the room? Like, how'd you guys handle that?
No, it definitely sucked. I still don't think we played our best in that championship, because we had to do what we needed, what we had to do. But with the talent that we had and the team that we had, it was, you know, we kind of overcame it and, you know, came out in the end, though. But it definitely sucked, because having family, all your family and friends all around you, coming to the games and get to experience that as well would have been awesome. You know, flying out to Arizona wasn't really an option for most families, as you know, we needed to get ready and bond as a group for one last time. So, yeah, it definitely sucked. And I know some of the other guys would have wanted back at home, but unfortunately it happened the way we did, and we did win. So, you know, we're the champs that year. So
what was the after party like? What'd you guys do?
You know what? It was pretty crazy. I had to jump back on a plane at 2 a.m. with Reggie Thorpe.
Oh, you guys, the world was going on, right?
No, the Junior A's were starting. Like, it was four games in. And we played that next day, so I had to get back on a flight. So I think we drank by the pool all afternoon, because I think it was like a 3 o'clock game or something like that, all the way till 2. So I was just polluted going on the plane, and they were just trying to get me on the plane to get me to the game the next day. And nothing too crazy happened, because I had to get out of there, but I had a good time till it lasted.
What
I think I drank the whole way. I think I drank the whole way home too, on the back of the plane, on the back of the bird.
That's only one way not to get hungover.
Hey. Oh, punchline right there.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious, after all the games you've played now at the end of your career, that it was that important to get back for the sixth game of the Junior A season.
Tell me about it. Like, I see kids nowadays that they don't even make it. They don't even come back from school and make it to like the 10th game. And I'm just like, I couldn't wait to itch and get back and not let my teammates down and be there to help them. Right. So, it was just one of those things. Got a little thumbs down there. Right.
I don't know what that is. So apologies.
Unbelievable.
He's giving you the thumbs down.
I don't know. We've never had that before. So I did want to ask, like, you know, for guys like yourself who are super successful, people might think that the transition is easy. What was the hardest adjustment to the NLL from a lacrosse point of view for you?
I think enjoying these last 3 weeks here with my family kind of puts sums things up. Hardest adjustment was, you know, I had my first daughter early with my wife Kayla. I think my third year or fourth year in the league. I think it was 21 around there. And I think just leaving every weekend, you know, working a Monday to Friday job, and then taking off and leaving on the weekend and coming back, doing it for so many years, it's a grind. And you do it because you love it, and it's worth it. But then you realize here, like last couple of weeks, where it's like, you know, the body's starting to get a little bit slower and shut down a little bit more. And it's kind of telling you that as much as I would love to try to play another year, which I kind of wish you always want to, right? But it was kind of that time to hang them up. But just that grind going every weekend, and then flying back, where I'm hoping that kind of things take off and good things are happening in the NLL. And hopefully we see a lot more, you know, salaries start going up where guys can go full time and live in the areas they live in or playing.
You know, obviously you've got a lot going on. You've got family stuff, you know, you want to be around. Is, you know, I think an interesting idea for anyone that kind of retires is like, for you, is there a plan in the future to kind of stay involved, whether it's like, I don't know, doing analyst stuff with a TV network or getting involved with the team coaching or being a GM or something like that kind of intrigues you?
Yeah, you know, I always want to stay involved, and I think I always say that, you know, me leaving, there's always crazy stuff happening, but I think I do it to myself. I always add on extra things because I can never say no. If it's, you know, running my business with my cousin Turner, doing that. But right now I'm coaching, doing the youth stuff with Turner, but then I'm coaching Team Switzerland right now. I'm getting ready for the 2023 World Box Lacrosse Championship. So that's going to take a little bit of the year this year. I think I'm flying out there about 4 or 5 times to work with the team. You know, a team that's been, you know, getting better each year since I've been there. So doing a little bit of that. And, you know, I'll be looking to get back into the lacrosse world here. You know, hopefully, if not at the end of this year, hopefully next year.
Are you you head coach for Swiss or assistant coach?
I'm the head coach now.
So no I just way. Got,
just being named the head coach, yeah. So doing that, so I took on the bigger role with me retiring. So, yeah, just getting ready for the 2023 Worlds there. So I just got back there about 3 weeks ago from going out for the first time there.
Yeah, we were chit-chatting when you're over there. I told you to bring me with you. And yeah, I'm still sitting in right.
Canada. Hey, there could be a spot open. There could be a spot open.
What? How did you?
Swiss passport somewhere. I think that's. I'll find a Swiss passport somewhere.
Listen, we're gonna. Yeah, if you guys get that green light, we might have to start burying our money in a Swiss bank here too. But what? How did
travel
you get involved?
The show. We got to do interviews down in Switzerland.
That's it. How did you get involved with that?
Yeah, it kind of happened in 2015. 2015 in Syracuse. The Swiss team came out and they wanted to practice with us. And I remember Mario, talking to Mario, who was part of that at the time, and kind of just connecting. And then when I was getting ready to kind of think about retire there a couple of years ago, you know, I kind of reached back out and talked to Mario and Lucas, kind of come back out there and joining on as offensive coach and helping out with their program. You know, being involved in it here, it's a lot different out there because they don't get exposed to it as much, and kind of what we're used to here.
You enjoying the coaching though? Like, you enjoy the head coaching aspect? Like, something you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I think I never told myself when I was playing I didn't want to coach when I was playing. It's just that mindset of having, you know what, I need to think as a player, think as a team guy. You know, think those ways on the floor situations, not think about all the other stuff off the floor. So I think my mind, now that I actually focus on that, I'm done playing, I'm kind of ready for that next switch and kind of change things up a little bit. So yeah, I can kind of sense it and feel it coming. And I feel a little bit more relieved after announcing retirement. Now I can kind of move on with that. So I'm just looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, you know, watching the Swiss team grow And, you know, me going over there a couple weeks ago, they had five teams playing in the league, and, you know, it was awesome to see. So there's some good things coming. And I think with the announcement of the Olympics coming 2028, I think more buzz is just going to be going around. So you see more countries joining in.
Yeah, that's unreal, buddy. That's wicked.
It's a good opportunity.
Let's maybe dive into a little bit of Senior A. So talk to us, you know, let's jump into, I mean, obviously we on the show, we talk quite a bit about it, and I think people know about Man Cups and the significance and how hard they are to win, but walk us through kind of the early days of those, maybe those Peterborough Brampton days when you guys were kind of just battling it out pretty good.
You know what, that's when they needed to make documentaries on us. 30 for 30s, those would have been the best ones. I can't even describe how crazy, how cruel, how I don't know where to go. Like, the games were unbelievable, back and forth. The talent with, you know, on the other side, you had Colin Doyle, Dan Dawson, Josh Sanderson, Paul, you're there for most of it too. And then, you know, guys that we had, you know, John Grant Jr., Scott Evans, myself, we had a bunch of guys as well. And just the grind and the back and forth, I think every year was, you know, them winning it, us winning it, them winning it, back and forth. And then kind of till we went on our little bit of a run at the end. But just the slashes, the fights, the brawls, the fans coming over the stands in Brampton one time. And I'm like, you know, coming over the glass and trying to hold these fans off. Like, I remember getting in a fight on the floor, walking off, getting kicked out with my helmet off. And I remember it was like a slap shot. I got hit with something in the head. Somebody threw something at me from the top, and I'm sitting there staring, going in the stands and trying to go after, you know, the next person. Like, it was crazy. It was nuts. It was, but like, again, those times was what created everything and kind of created those bonds with your teams. Cause you're willing to do anything on the floor and off the floor, I guess, to be successful. So those games are absolutely grinds. One goal games, overtime games. I don't know. They're just fun games to be part of.
I mean, I've always said that it would have been a hilarious 30 for 30. Like, I used to have to, if we got up by two or three on you guys, I have to used to play defense on Patty Merrill, my own team. Scotty would come and jump them almost every game. So I'd have to play defense on somebody else while looking at Patty Merrill to see where your brother was, because he's going to come jump him at some point. So yeah, it would have been amazing just to hear those point of views. But
those games got kept close, because if you got away three goal, four goal lead at the end of the games, guys,
you know,
heads were taken off.
100%. Yeah.
Next game.
100%.
Like, it was crazy.
Oh yeah. No, it was so fun though.
Take some head off, get a 2 minute penalty, and you're golden for next game. So it's
no suspensions, no nothing. It was amazing. Just literally jailhouse rules. When did you win your first Manor? Were you junior age, or were you
I was junior age.
Okay.
I was my first Manor when my second year of junior A. I was called up in 2004, and I think that was the one where it was like Evans from Evans from Evans, when I had I played with both my brothers on the team. And it was pretty unique moment, you know, as a kid. I think I was 16.
Yeah.
Playing with grown men and earning my spot with them and earning the respect with them. So it was pretty cool. It was being 16 and untouchable, you know, at that time was pretty cool to be part of.
Did that, like, I was just going to ask, like, obviously that helps because you got big bros there, Scotty and Steve. Like, did that help you feel, like, comfortable that you knew, like, you were going to be okay being a young kid? Because, like, to be honest, like, that's unheard of. When's the last time a 16, 17-year-old's gone and played in a Man Cup?
I mean, I feel like I was scared shitless at 16 playing junior.
that's what I mean. That's what I mean. And then you go play, like, I mean, it was a little bit different back then. You probably didn't know exactly who you were playing with, but you knew you were playing with grown men, 30 years old, 35 years old.
Yeah, it was the way I was too. I it did help having them, because you knew I could play my role of that little gritty, you know, grinder, and you know, piss people off. And you know that, you know, if someone did something, they're there too to, you know, if I can't defend it, then they're going to be in there too. So it was a funny story, actually, thinking about when I was back with the Petes. We won. I got called up at 17, I think, because we went back to the, I think it was either, I think it was 04 going into the 05 season when I played. We won the Man Cup the day before training camp. So I remember going out all night and partying. I think I was end up being at the Holiday Inn and then walking to the rink and getting my gear and going to the arena. And I remember Dick Todd just looking at me and going, hey, congratulations on the Man Cup, but go home and get some sleep and come back in the afternoon. I was like, yeah, thank you.
That's unreal.
Unbelievable. I mean, is there for you?
The things I just think back on, though, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. I would imagine across the board, there's some pretty crazy memories for you. But I mean, from all accounts on our side, you've won that thing 7 times. Is that right?
Eight now, wouldn't it be? Eight last year, yeah.
So what is there one that like pops into your mind of just kind of like the most vivid or meant the most to you? I know it's, we ask guys this question, it's hard to choose, but is there one that pops out?
I don't know. There's a couple that pop out. You know, it's always been a grind to me, but it's like, you know, that first one always was, you know, getting called up and, you know, being a small part of it, but, you know, was good. But I think it was 4 years ago. I think 4 years ago now, my sister's wedding. This is unheard of. Who misses their sister's wedding for a championship game? So, you know, my sister wasn't happy, but we went out to Victoria and we're down 2-0. It was game 3 and my sister was having a wedding back in Peterborough and I was in Victoria. And it was kind of one of the hardest things I had to do. But I remember going out there and we were down by 2 goals with like 3.5 minutes left. And I remember sitting on the bench, you know, missing the wedding. I was feeling pretty emotional on the bench, but I remember next time I go back out there and I don't even remember what happened, but I scored 4 goals and we won the game. And it was honestly crazy that you think about it. I was on the bench thinking about that. And then the day that I'm missing it, we end up winning and then we won 4 straight and we won 4-2 in that series. So that one stands out in my head there. That's kind of going, we could have went down 3-0 and just a little bit of a little motivation and coming back. And not saying it's me scoring goals, we end up having a good 4 minutes and winning that game. So it's pretty crazy.
Hey, but Big Sis has to know better to book a wedding couple weekends of September. It's not like you've won one Man Cup. You had about 5 or 6 of them at that point. She's got to know
it's
better.
It's a very touchy subject, so it's one of those ones that we can't even bring up. We don't want to get her going.
It'll just be, a 5-on-5 Evans brawl. It gets brought up. It's just everyone's going.
Good. Hey, good thing is we won. That means I can, like, you know, we accomplished what I went out there. Not like I didn't get lost and miss the wedding. So
Turned out all right. Man,
again, you know, fast forwarding a little bit here to I guess more modern day, for lack of a better term, but all time video clip comes out of you after the most recent Man Cup, just head under the bar tap. Walk us through that celebration. How are the boys feeling that night?
Wow, there's a lot going on. The boys were feeling good.
It was crazy. I'm gonna jump in one sec, dude. It was actually crazy because Lomi. So obviously, like, you know, half the team's living in Peterborough, half of us are staying down there. But we win the Man Cup, right? And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, "Dude, half the power's out in Peterborough." So half the power was out. So we were staying at, like, I think we were supposed to go to the bar in the arena, but the power was out. And then, anyways, now I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. So this one bar, you know, one of the oldest bars in Peterborough, the Champs Sports Bar, was the only spot that had power in the whole downtown. It was pretty crazy. The whole downtown was dark, and then you have this little bar right in the middle just lit up. And, you know, for me, you know, I remember seeing Pauly there, but for me, I remember the day before breaking the record of Tavares's and then going down with my ankle the game after that. So the emotions were up and down that those 2 days, and then the boys coming through and dominating that game seven was unbelievable. But then, you know, the boys just let loose. You know, everyone was happy. Everyone just could let loose. And this little bar was open with the lights on, and it was just like, come in and have fun. Like, the whole town was there, and outside streets were filled with people. And next thing you know, they got the old school taps on the bar too. So it was, I seen the video and the next day. I roll over, I do the old, oh no. So.
But they wanted us behind there, Lomi. Like, they were like, you guys got to get behind here. It's not like, they were like, get behind there. Like, I remember at one point someone grabs like, hey, we're all going behind the bar. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, I know how this is. Like, no, they want us. And the owner's like, yeah, just waving us over. He's like, get back here. Like, all right, let's get back here.
Yeah. And my ankle at this point right now, it's all the tendons are just popped right out of it. So like, I'm just holding on for one leg, but I'm like, I ain't missing this. I ain't missing this party. So it was, you know, I'm walking on one leg and that guy's pushing me around, and it was, boys just letting loose. It was awesome. It was a good time.
I mean,
it probably goes down to one of the best makeup parties, just how they went old school. The bar let us do what we wanted to do, which that's kind of, I feel like it should be. But
yeah,
nowadays I feel like that stuff can't really happen, but that was just three years ago. So
yeah, I mean, even the start, I've watched that video from time to time, the start of the video, and like, it kind of pans and then you kind of pop in at the end, but some of the 1,000-yard stares that you get, like, kind of going through each guy are fucking all, like, they're unbelievable. I mean, you get a little close up of Sweets and he's just bangaranged. It was, oh my God, just an unbelievable clip. But
the boys were having fun, and all the emotions and everything, you know, throw the booze on top of it. It was a great time. And, the boys were having a good time.
I can't even imagine too, because like, I mean, on a good night after just a regular season NLL win, you're having hours and hours of lacrosse talk with the boys. I can't even imagine what the lacrosse talk is and how many I love yous are getting passed around between the guys after you win a man cuff and you're bangarang. Like, that's amazing.
I always made a bet with my wife. I always say at the end of the year, just give myself extra motivation, was like, if I win the championship, I get 2 days to myself. I get 2 days to myself. And she's always stuck to it. She's always like, I've never needed 2 days, because after that first day, I'm just done. So
yeah, you don't want the second.
No, maybe I was 18, 19, and those years were a lot easier. But now it's just like, give me one good day and I'm done.
That's so funny.
That's amazing.
Two free days. Give me 2 free days and leave me alone.
That's awesome. The 2 free days are just recovering from the hangover from the one night.
hey, Paulie asked for like 2 weeks and a golf trip. So 2 days, not so bad.
Yeah, 2 days is fair. Okay, so let's get into it. We're going to get into kind of maybe some more like kind of rapid fire questions about just different things throughout your career. So is there a time when you were playing lacrosse, you know, whether it be in junior, in senior or the NLL, that like you ran into a defensive battle, somebody on the other end, that it was like, fuck, here we go again. Like, this is, you know, I got to play this guy again. Like, who was the toughest matchup you felt you had?
There was definitely a few of those. I know Sid Smith was one of them. You know, you had guys, you always lined up and they just always carved you and teed off on you. So he'd probably be at the top of the list. I'm probably forgetting somebody else, but yeah, there's that one on each team that was always coming out after you, and they wanted to make it their mission that game to, you know, carve you up. And I remember I always say back to them, I'm like, you hit me, I'm gonna hit you right back twice as hard. And until I do it, they kind of back down a little bit. So, but you always had those rivalries. But Sid Smith pops out. He was a great defensive player.
And then. Other one for me that I'm pretty curious about, like, who in your mind, you know, I guess two questions, and it may be the same answer, but who was the player that you had the most fun playing with on offense, and then who did it feel like it was the easiest to play with?
Wow, I think most fun to play with probably my brother. It was a lot of fun out there because a lot of stuff usually happened out there, no matter if it's down by three goals or we're up by, you know, there's always something happening.
And more circus fun. More circus.
No one knew what was going to happen next, so that was fun in it. You know, Thomas Hogarth was great to play with later in my years. We had some fun out there. We had some creativity. You know, Curtis Dixon, my Calgary years and Calgary years with Curtis Dixon, you know, we lit it up. We created some plays and just kind of rode with it. And we were lighting it up at that time. It was fun. Like you had Jeff Shatler and Dane Doby, on the left side. So it was pretty packed, squad. So, I say that those years were probably the best as well.
What about goalies? Which goalie gave you the most trouble over the years?
None of them.
I would say Rosie, but I've had good success on Rosie's, but I hate shooting on Rosie. Just the big blocker of a goalie, especially when they shut the defense shuts off backside, and you know what, you're forced to shoot it, and just he moves one step, and it's like boom. It's like you take six hits to the head and four hits to the shoulder, and then you take a shot and he doesn't move, and you hit him right in the belly. It's like come on, so yeah. That's what lacrosse is right there, though. Just to get a shot on net, you get hit five times, and then you shoot it, hoping to score, and it hits them right in the belly button.
Now, is there a, you know, obviously there's been plenty of them, but is there, for you, is there a favorite fight that you were ever in?
A favorite fight? There's a few of them. There's ones that just pop up on the YouTube there. Actually, one that does stand out was the Miller, goaltender for Philadelphia, B. Miller. That's when
clip, dude. We were just watching that clip in Colorado, dying laughing, man. That was so funny.
No, it was pretty crazy. They had a tough team. Snyder was crazy. He was one of the toughest guys in the league at the time. And I didn't care two craps about how tough they were. Snyder just went down and kind of bumped into Patty O'Toole and we're in Rochester. I'm like, they don't fucking do that to us. Like they're not doing that. They're not coming into our barn and hitting our goaltender. And we're not doing anything. And, I remember you had Scotty Ditzel, big D guy too. Just kind of let Snyder go around him. So I go to Steve Toll. I go to center. I'm like, give me the ball now. He's like, what? No. I was like, give me the ball right now. I take the ball off him. I just beeline it for the net, not knowing I had a complete breakaway too. Things just kind of opened up.
Now, dude,
go ahead.
It's like people do that. They're looking in my eyes. Like I was going to do something. So they just got out of my way. And it opened up as a break where I could have scored, but I just shot it and then went right through the goalie. And then there was Rand B. Miller right through the net. And then Snyder and Hayek just gloves off and things just were starting. So it was pretty intense, but. Yeah, I was just thinking, not in our barn, it ain't happening. So I was just trying to change the momentum.
Again, I still remember watching that clip. Like, and it's what, and again, like I talked about, you know, the hotel room beers with the boys after games. The amount of times I've seen that clip, like, you know, later in the evening with the boys after the bar in the hotel room, just crying, like actual physical tears watching that clip, because it the way the seas parted, and like you could almost tell you weren't expecting the seas to part like that to get the breakaway, and you just bundle them like
I feel like that was the whole thing I was thinking about afterwards. Like I had a breakaway, like I could score too. Like imagine if I scored and then did it, would have been that much better.
Oh fuck, would have been all time unbelievable.
But that's kind of one thing about me though. I know, like I got a chance to play with Paulie there the last few years too, so it's just, you know, my teammates were kind of a huge important part of my game. And, you know, that's why you play. You know, you're trying to earn their respect and stuff like that on the floor when it happens. I just kind of go, you know, sometimes it's a little sideways, sometimes just to kind of tweak, tweak a little something to change the outcome of a game, right? So that's kind of that's why some of those things happen every now and then.
I finally got
a thumbs up though, Donnie.
I don't know what that is. It's not me. I'm sorry.
It's AI.
I'm really sorry.
AI likes this story. Last one. What about your number? Where does that come from?
My number 15?
Yeah.
Comes from my dad. And they believe my dad wore it. You know, I was younger, so I never got a chance to really watch him play. I got to watch him play old timers. But he played for the Toronto Maple Leafs for like 6 or 7 games. I knew that, but never got a chance to kind of see him when he was playing for the Petes. Or I think he was wearing 15 for the Petes. I think remember seeing the number 15 on a picture at home growing up, and I think my brother wore it as well. And it was a number that just kind of stayed with me, and I kind of wore all the way up. 1588, I kind of wore when I was a younger age. I kind of wore 88 and 15 when I got it when I was an overage kid. So it was just those two numbers that stuck with me, and I got to play them out.
I tell you what, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. 192 penalty minutes in 70 games with the Petes. The old man was doing it right. I love that. It's that's awesome, man.
Yeah, he at that time he played with Stan Jonathan from Six Nations. He played lacrosse too.
No way.
Yeah, oh, so that's was, a... if you watch the Boston Bruins videos of him like in the stands and just, you know, beating people up, it was it was pretty crazy at that time.
Stan could throw. Stanley could throw.
Oh yeah he could.
All right. Well, I mean, man, we appreciate it. Have you guys got anything more for Shine before we let him go?
No, but just again, this is our third time. Again, we appreciate you coming back on. This is long, long overdue. But honestly, congrats on a hell of a career, man. Enjoy retirement. Again, you're your first ballot Hall of Famer, and you deserve to do whatever you want to do in retirement, man. So just enjoy it. You've earned it, man. For a guy your size, and you kind of just described the way you played is it's kind of unique to have the skill and the just a little bit of psychoness to your game to be a special guy, man. So congratulations.
I appreciate that, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'll definitely be staying busy with continuing to kind of teach the schools and with Switzerland and stay involved in the lacrosse world here a little bit. And good luck to you guys, and thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Is there, you want to maybe plug the program a little bit before we let you go?
What, the old Nationwide Lacrosse?
Yeah. What is
book
it?
School,
I mean,
book your school visit today.
There you go. So how do if people? I mean, you never know. I'm sure there's
back of the bird 15% off.
Yeah.
Put a good plug in into it, because you know one thing that me and my cousin Turner that plays in Rochester, New York as well. We teach up to 100 schools. And we're trying to get into more all across Ontario. And I think that's, a big part of, we go into schools and you see kids that never get to experience lacrosse or get to play lacrosse, ever. And you get to go in there and teach them and kind of build that and introduce them to new sports and the culture of it as well. So definitely a unique situation, and hopefully we can get more schools involved.
So there you go. If you guys, if anyone listening is interested in is a teacher somewhere or knows somebody that can, wants to get a new program involved, reach out to us or Shawnee directly, and make sure you guys get it to happen, because it's something special.
Nationwidelacrosse.ca.
I'll throw it in the show notes. So
love it.
Check beneath this.
Thanks, Donnie. No, I appreciate it, boys. And good luck to you guys in their seasons. And I'll be watching. I'm a big fan now. I'll be your number one fan.
Buddy.
Awesome. Enjoy, buddy. Thanks, Shawnee. Appreciate it. And congrats again. All right. What an interview. What a career. First Bowder. Paulie talked about it. But, again, it's just so rare to have a guy that would do anything to change the outcome of a game, whether that's putting his body on the line and fighting or just going to the net, scoring a big goal or whatever he's got to do. Again, we really, really encourage you to go out and YouTube the Sean Evans B. Miller clip, because it is all-time viewing. Because the C's part, he's breakaway bound, just buries him. But yeah, again, all-time guy, and congrats to him on an unbelievable career. Is there anything else we want to touch on before we wrap it up?
No, not really. I think we touched it all, to be honest.
I like it.
All right. Well, I got nothing else. Again, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate you guys listening. If you've got suggestions for interviews, send them in to us. We'll start kind of taking a peek at that stuff and getting guys on. We've done this 102 times now, so it's we're starting to run through some players. We want to get some ideas too of anyone that you're curious to hear from. So shout out to Cottage Springs. Thank you for everything you guys do, as well as Bar Down. Go get your merch in time for 4 or 5 Christmases from now. You'll have it at your front door, we promise. And maybe Lion Eyes, I don't know, who knows. I still haven't got my shipment. I haven't heard any text back, but they might be coming back. But I think that does it for episode 102. Thanks for listening.
Peace.